Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 84 for Thursday, January 19th, 2012. I need props for getting that date right, by the way, because it's 2012, and can you believe we're 3 weeks into 2012 already? It feels so much longer. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this little podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we are doing our little thing live, as we do most Thursday nights. I know it's been a little while, because we had CES last week, and I think we did a short podcast the week before. So let us introduce ourselves to all of you new people out there who just got Android phones over the Christmas holidays and the new year and all that stuff. So we are, I think, the biggest and baddest Android site in the history of the universe, correct? Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Seems pretty accurate.
So Thursday nights, we do a podcast. And we do it live, and we have video now, so you can watch us, and not instead of listening to us. I mean, I guess you could watch us instead of listening to us, but that wouldn't make much sense, would it? You can watch us in addition to listening to us, which is very cool. So we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, everybody.
And we have Mickey Papillon. You know him as the Cell Phone Junkie.
Good evening, everybody.
And from the cellphonejunkie.com, plug. In England, we have Alex Dobie.
Hello, everyone.
And in the chat room, on the right-hand side of the page, which you have to be watching this live to see, we have a chat room, which is pretty awesome, because you guys are awesome. And I've missed you guys. It's weird. I tell you, Mickey, it's weird doing podcasts now without a chat room.
Well, you know, it was we did a couple during CES, which was really good, which I know we're going to jump right into here, but it did feel a little bit odd not getting that instant feedback from everybody. So we missed you guys.
I'm not going to go that far.
Ooh.
I'm just saying it's good to see him. I don't know. I missed him. All right. I missed him. So, yeah, let's talk a little more about CES. Mickey and I went. We survived. I don't know. Mickey, is it getting easier? How many CESs is this for you now?
CES is three. I've been to a number of CTIA shows as well.
Okay,
but yeah,
so
I mean, it's,
you and I have been.
I don't know. I would say it's getting easier, but we're, you know what you're up against,
right,
when you go into it.
My ankles have finally quit hurting. That was, you know, the first year was the worst. And the first year, I think I wrote something on Google Plus about this. Gizmodo or somebody wrote about booth babes, and the CEA guy, I forget his name, he was said something stupid about it. But my point is, I don't notice the booth babes as much anymore. Either that or there just aren't as many. I'm not sure which. Probably a little bit of both.
Or you're getting old.
And I'm getting old, and I have a second kid, and I've been married for 7 years now. And just, you know, don't notice it as much. I don't know. Could be both. It's an interesting experience if you've never been. I mean, let alone working in the thing. And it's... I know a lot of people were complaining about CES before we get, not a lot, but a few, you know, tech journalists were complaining. It's like, A, don't complain about it, right? We're all lucky to have this job. But at the same time, I get it. Like, there's a lot of it that's just tough and tiring. And it's like, ugh. And, you know, I love it and I'm glad we went. But man, I'm glad to be home too. That said, I'm already looking forward to Mobile World Congress. We'll talk about that in a minute. But CES, I want to hear from Jerry and Alex. I think Mickey, you and I kind of talked on the podcast last week about what we liked and what we saw. So I want to hear from these guys who weren't actually there. And by the way, Alex and Jerry and not Jared, he was with us. Everybody, I'm forgetting names from the site, Chris and just everybody at home, seriously kicked ass in cleaning up after our messes in Vegas and handling things from there. So guys, I raise a glass to you and clink my ice. Thank you very much.
Stop clinking.
So, Jerry,
Jerry,
what was the best thing from CES from your standpoint? What intrigued you the most?
You know what? I really liked what Huawei showed up with. They have been long known for big industrial gear, but their smartphone choices have been, you know, a little bit less than desirable, but boy, they showed off two really nice phones this year, and I'm excited to have a look at them.
And they also did the Springboard for T-Mobile, so, which is basically a touchpad, right? Or not touchpad, Playbook.
Playbook, yeah.
That's how it felt to me anyway. All right, so Huawei, anything? We didn't really have much on the software side. I mean, that'll come later this year. Alex,
we should talk about this Huawei device, though,
okay,
because, I mean, I thought this was one of the more underrated devices of the show. And Jerry, I guess, is talking about the P1S.
And I'll be completely honest. I didn't see it. That's how crazy. I mean, for all you guys at home and for all the posts we did.
It is because it's only 4.3 inches.
Right.
So, I mean, personally, it felt like a much better size than the Galaxy Nexus. It was fast. It had a 1.5 gigahertz processor, dual core in it. It's got ice cream sandwich on it out of the box. It's a nice size. It runs really, really well. And I know we're not going to see it until Q2, and we don't know any pricing or anything like that. Like, we don't know on any other device, but I don't know. Kudos to Jerry for pulling that one out, because I was super impressed with it. I loved it.
And here's the crazy thing. That was the only ICS phone we saw, wasn't it? That was the only one there.
Yep, right.
So
we're going to see a lot more from them in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress, because that's more of a global company. And I know there are a couple things from ZTE there. In ZTE, it's just going to be all over the place at MWC. They have a huge booth up in Hall 4. So, it's tough to miss. Alex, what did you see? And you've actually, I want to come back and actually talk about the Galaxy Note for a minute, because to say it's a big deal, I mean, literally it's a big deal. It's one that the U.S. hadn't really seen yet, right? And when did you do your review? Like November?
Yeah, November, and it's sort of been in the pipeline since September they first announced it, and it's taken a while for it to go over to the U.S. But it's one of those devices that surprisingly has been really popular. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it does in the U.S. It's very interesting that the American carriers have seen this big sort of almost awkward 5.3 inch device even as something that they think is going to have mass appeal. But yeah, it looks like a good device. I reviewed it. I've got one right here, and it's
Bastard! Nice.
Yeah, I was waiting to drop that in at some point, but yeah, I have one right here. My contract came up for renewal, so instead of a tablet. So
you didn't mention that.
I didn't. Well, I've kind of been busy, but yeah, it's I said a lot of things in the review, and I think in a lot of ways I was kind of a little bit harsh on it. And maybe that was because of the timing of the review. I had something like three or four days with it. Wasn't a huge amount of time. And I think maybe I was using it wrong when I was reviewing it. In that it's difficult to see. If you try and use it as a phone, I think you kind of fall short a little bit. Mm. It's a great secondary device, I think, is where you're going to see it really play to its strengths.
Or maybe you like it more because you bought it. No, and I'm serious about that, because every phone that I personally bought, I love so much more than any other phone, right? I mean, I said that about the Nexus One for a long time, because I spent money on it, therefore I damn well better enjoy it and love it and hold it dearly, more so than I would a review device. So I don't think that's a bad assumption, bad way to go. So, and I'm curious, so now you're gonna write a follow-up, huh?
Yeah, and this is something I wanted to do with a lot of the phones that I've just used sort of longer term, because, I mean, it's amazing how your perceptions of phones changes over time when you use them day to day. Like, there are a lot of phones that I think, oh, I was way too easy on this phone to review, or I was way too hard on it. So, yeah, it's been interesting to go back and look over it again.
And I think I said that maybe last week or the week before, that, I mean, certainly the way you review phones, and when you've reviewed your, dozen HTC phones or dozen, Samsung phones, by the end of it, you're just like, okay. And it's not that the individual phone is bad. It's just our experience because of our time. It's tough, and you try to be objective about each one. So I completely hear where you're coming from. So yeah, so the Galaxy Note and something else, I got a picture of it. I don't think I've done anything with it. Samsung just ruled Vegas, as they're prone to do in cities. But they had these little booths set up just all around the city. It was the one right outside our hotel where people would sketch your caricature on the Galaxy Note, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had those at the launch event in London. We didn't really have time to get ours done because we were in such a rush to get stuff recorded, but that's something they definitely bust out for all these Note events.
It was, the booth was in, you hate to call it a booth because Samsung is just huge, right, Mickey? The phones obviously dominated everything, right? More so than the TVs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because as we were walking around, it was crazy to, I saw a lot of Notes out there, and you seem to think that those were all Samsung people. And kind of thinking back on it, I'm still wondering if they were handing them out somewhere, because it was just crazy. Speaking of those caricatures, though, I'm gonna drop a link in the chat. Hopefully, it'll go. It was a very interesting this caricature thing. There's a video a little bit way down in my post about actually a caricature make, you know, in the making here. And we're not talking about like a little sketch here. Right. They sketched Joey, my co-host on the Cell Phone Junkie, and in 10 minutes, an amazing caricature.
So and let's be honest, Joey's kind of a skinny, goofy looking guy, so that's not easy. I love Joey.
And it turned out really well. I was totally impressed by it.
All right, let's see. I want to open it up and look.
You gotta watch the video though, unfortunately. It's just like 45 seconds. But,
okay. Yeah. I'll watch it later. And Joey, yeah, I kid, cool. I love you. You're a very attractive man. Corey's not here. I wanted to ask Corey because he's got even a different look than the rest of us. What about the Asus $250 quad core 7-inch tablet that might or might not
take my money?
Might or might not have a name depending on who you ask. Take your money, Jerry. You're all over that.
Take my money.
Yeah.
Tegra 3, 7 inches. Just take it now.
It's pretty awesome. And it was funny. I was talking to the NVIDIA guys later. I'm like, dude, so what the... Because we were trying to figure out what the name was, right? And there was some confusion about that. Mm-hmm. And even the NVIDIA guys are like, hell if we know. You notice how quickly the guy put it back in his pocket? And they're like... And these are the PR guys, so I understand. They're, you know, they'll know stuff before we do, but quite often they're in the dark half the time, too, until, you know, they're told. But that thing came out, and the guy's like, look at this. Quad-core, 250. All right, see ya. And that was it. The NVIDIA presser was good. It was interesting seeing all the little technical things, the points on the fingers. So they're able to, with the quad-core processors, they're able to more precisely track points on the display. So when you're touching it, and I forget what the exact numbers are, but it was pretty awesome. And just little things like that. So when somebody says, what can I do with a quad-core tablet, or I have to have quad-core, I just don't know why, now you have another reason, right? So it's not just graphics output. Now you have better input processing, which is pretty awesome. So I was glad we were there to see that. For me, probably, it still has to be Intel. And I kind of hate to say that because we didn't really get a great look at it. We saw the Intel reference device. We saw the Lenovo K800 that's going to China. And you know what? They both look like, I mean, they look like Android phones. There's not a lot to say. But I think it's the partnership with Motorola is going to be a huge deal. It's the introduction of x86 and Atom into the Android ecosystem. And it's what we're going to see a year from now. You know, this is a long-term thing. You're not going to see it next month. You're not going to see the Motorola stuff till the fall at the earliest, I think. I know, Jerry, you can probably explain that a little better. But, I mean, I'm right in saying it's a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, a new architecture that a company, you know, it's Intel. They don't do things half-ass.
Right.
It's Intel.
They had Will.i.am at the keynote. That's pretty awesome.
So here's a question for you, Jerry. What happens to...
I thought it was awesome.
What?
Fine.
So what happens to all the apps on the Android market that are optimized for ARM?
Intel says that they have a compatibility layer, and as long as it runs under the Dalvik virtual machine, it's going to be fine. We don't see that with, you know, some of these MIPS processors that are coming out. There's a lot of cross-compilation needing done.
Yeah, because the reason I asked is you had that weird tablet, didn't you, that had all sorts of problems.
Until we see differently, I guess we have to take them at their word that they have built a compatibility layer that actually works.
There's, I'm a little, yeah, I'm a little iffy on that. Because I think they said like 80, 85% of the stuff's going to run, but the question is what doesn't. I'm less concerned about the apps that do run because you're not going to notice and you're not going to bitch about them until you get to the one app that you have to have and it doesn't work. I would think by then they'd have it figured out. I'm willing to bet we see something in whatever next version of the SDK.
Yeah. Well, see, it's easy to do, but it's something that, you know, more than likely nobody has done.
Right.
Is cross-compile apps for x86 because there was never a need to. So we'll have to see. I think that that's going to be a minor annoyance at best for just a couple months, and then everybody's going to be on board with it.
And by the way, you had that with new hardware anyway, even with new hardware.
Yeah, and you know, the example they used, and it was like the only thing that would show you would be like, here's Angry Birds straight from the market, and they made a big deal about telling you that. Like, it's really Angry Birds, and it's really from the market. I'm like, all right, but I do other things than Angry Birds, believe it or not. Just
what?
And they're like, why would you want to do that? Here's Angry Birds straight from the market. So, I mean, yeah, there will be hiccups. There will be headaches. But I don't know. I'm excited. I'm very excited about that. I'm excited about the Asus thing. Google TV stuff, I checked it out. Like, it's still Google TV. And that's great. It's cool to see it baked into a TV, but that just doesn't excite me as much as it does like a $900 or a $99 set-top box. You know, $99 set-top box is so much more attainable. If I were to buy a new TV, I would probably get a smart TV at this point, maybe. You know, something with Google TV. But I'm so, you know, a $99 set-top box, that's an impulse buy. I'll go get that right now without thinking.
Right. The wife and I just bought a TV. Mm. We're not going to turn around and buy another one.
Yeah.
I'm not made of money.
What?
I wish not.
I've seen what I'm paying you. You sure? Yeah, it's, you know, is what it is. I want to see it do well. I really do. And I don't think Google's done with it yet, and that's good. But still got a ways to go. Anything else from CES? It's a crazy, I mean, I said I didn't see the Huawei stuff. How nuts is that? There's so much stuff there that it's not impossible for one person to see it all, but it's a pain in the ass.
You know, and I think this year more than anything, and I don't know how you felt about it, Phil, I spent less time on the show floor than I ever have.
That was me last year. I was on the floor a lot more than I was last year, but I was also running around a lot more than I was last year. You know, going from the LVCC back to the Venetian. And if you guys have never been to Vegas, you know, it has this giant-ass convention center. And then, you know, a half mile away, but it's, you know, a good 20 minutes on the monorail, maybe. Nah, not quite that long. Is the Venetian in the Sands Expo Hall, where a whole bunch of other stuff was.
You didn't get Sands is, on the wall in the lockup.
What's that?
You didn't get my message written on the wall in county lockup.
Oh yeah, something else we should mention is the Samsung Smart Window that Ashley Skadda got an awesome video of. How badass is that? It's got like a little virtual slider for the window shade, and then the window goes dark and opens up. I mean, that thing is awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, just go to the site and search for Samsung Smart Window. And I think we've got like 2.5 million YouTube views on it. It's insane. It's just awesome. Has nothing to do with Android, but it's just part of the badassness that is CES. And you know what else they had there? Did you see the starts with an M, Mercedes demo?
Mercedes demo. Yeah. No, because it sounds like I would have remembered it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's like a car dash prototype demo thing, whatever. It's concept stuff. But it's just a completely flat, flush dash, and stuff would project onto it somehow. I forget how. And then it also...
Oh.
So it's not just touch, but it also uses gesture and motion. So, you know, it's very Minority Report. It was just... It was awesome. So much fun. So cool to see.
I guess one of the things that I would say, and coming out of it that I felt like I... And I hadn't in a while, is... it wasn't as much about the actual phones this year as it was about the other things you can do with phones. And specifically, I'm talking about the connected car. And I read, and I can't remember where it was, unfortunately, someone made a comment of, looking now at our next device for 2012, it may not be a $300 smartphone. Your next, the device of this year could be a $30,000 car. And whether it's Ford or GM or Mercedes, there's all sorts of great integration that they're doing and taking advantage of the smartphone that you already have and the data plan that you're already paying for and integrating things. And it's more than just A2DP streaming. I mean, this is full on application support in the car that's completely, you know, you leave your phone in your pocket and it connects to your car via Bluetooth and you've got the full application experience right there on the dash. And it's just, I mean, to me, this is where I wanted to be last year. And I've spent really the whole year trying to figure out what kind of car I'm going to get next. And now, after seeing some of this stuff, I finally feel like 2012 could be that year where it's not just about how do I get my music from my phone to my, you know, into the car, but you know, there's a lot more application support. And I think that's pretty neat.
I tell you, what's really going to depress you is when you find out that like some of the really awesome stuff that your phone will hook into is only on the high end trim packages, like the Malibu.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll get manual door locks to get the package. I don't care. It's worth the money. It's to me that is there's so few things that I care about in cars. To me, they're just a vehicle. Okay, that's a horrible pun because it actually is a vehicle. It's a way to get around.
Right.
And it doesn't, I don't know, certain things of it I like more than others. I like having the technology stuff that's in there. Audi has got this thing, I can't remember what they call it, like the phone box or something like that. And this is just, it's so crazy. It's a built-in signal booster into the dash of the car. It's coming in Audi's later this year.
Right.
Not the dash, the console, the center console. And you know, you put your phone in there and it's a full-on phone signal booster. That's great. This is brilliant stuff that they're thinking about doing. Couple that with a connection to your car via Bluetooth where it's showing your Pandora or your Slacker app on there, or NPR in Ford's case, and you can actually listen to 25 years of NPR archives, you know, going back and or any NPR station, or viewing the you know, the album arts from your Slacker stream. Just insane stuff that it seems like super easy, but you can't get it in cars, or you haven't been able to. And so now they're getting it to the point where it's really, really good. Well,
let me ask you about that, because I wandered through the Kenwood booth, you know, car stereos, and I have a Kenwood, and not like a high-end one. But they have an Android app, and they have radios that you can plug your phone into, and then it will, you know, control the music and vice versa and help with playlists and stuff. But as I'm sitting there looking at it, I started getting mad. And right now, the one I have in my car, I can plug in a flash drive, and you know, just it sees the folders, it plays the music, you know, very no frills, not really all that great, but it works. So with really what I want, I don't want to have to install a Kenwood app to make it work. I don't want to have to worry about playlists. I just want to plug in my phone. And Jerry, I was going to ask you this, and we never got around to talking about it. But is Android at Home going to be able to fix that? Is there going to be some protocol where I can just plug in my phone and it's going to work over MTP or whatever protocol it has, and it's just going to work? I mean, because that's what I want. I don't want to have to download another app. If I have to, I mean, maybe I'm being lazy. And if you guys think I'm being lazy, just say so.
But you're being lazy.
Am I being lazy?
A little bit.
It needs to be simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's going to be as simple as far as you plug it in and it's going to open the market page and you press the button and download it to control whatever you've plugged in. And, you know, that's if people actually manufacture it.
You saw the Cobra Joyride, right?
Yes.
Talk to Cobra?
Yes. I talked to them. And actually, that looked pretty good.
This is a great example of this. And you talk about not wanting to download an app. Well, it really is pretty simple. It's not that big of a deal. Cobra, they have this accessory now where you plug it into your Android device and the application on the device controls everything that's going on with your phone. So, example, you plug it in, it turns the Wi-Fi off, it turns your Bluetooth on, it turns the ringer on loud, and it opens up an application and starts it playing.
And
just by plugging it in your car.
A little button that's on the charger that you can push to launch something else.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Joyride is a great example of this. And it's super simple, but it shows you the power of what they could potentially do with this.
Mm-hmm. The chat room is saying, you know, chat room is railing against Bluetooth right now. And I don't blame them one bit. I love the idea of Bluetooth. I hate the implementation. It's just horrible. I've got that Supertooth speaker here that I love, but you know, connecting my Galaxy Nexus to it is just a pain, and it doesn't work half the time. And like, it just needs to be simpler. That's what I want to see for 2012, and maybe the next version of Android or something. Like, we need a protocol that's just simpler. Please.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Wi-Fi?
I don't know. I don't know. You tell me.
No, we're not. It's going to be Bluetooth. And Bluetooth is not perfect. Bluetooth is not plugged in quality. You have to know that going in. But you're also streaming music over the internet. You're not going to be getting, you know, extremely high quality, especially if you go with Pandora. Pandora is horrible. It's like 64K, you know. So don't go into that expecting you're going to get this CD quality audio. You have to look at and yes, we'll get there, but it's not quite there yet. But look at it as This is a way to do more than just playing that song. You can control it. You can actually interact with it, and it feels more like that experience that you're getting on the screen of your smartphone, but you're not distracted with this phone that you're fumbling around with. It's on your dash.
Yeah.
And that's where it's better. And yes, I agree. I'm not an advocate for Bluetooth as far as saying that it's the best way to go. But there are times when I think it's convenient, and I think if your car has the integration where you can connect your phone that way, I say use it. You know, and if you're not overly comfortable with it, maybe you've tried Bluetooth streaming in the past, maybe you've got an accessory, go and try it. I just test drove an Acura TL that had the ability to do it. I was pretty impressed by the sound quality. I'll be honest. It sounded much better than I have a little Canex, I think it's called the Air Blue, and I have that plugged into a cable that's plugged into the auxiliary port in my current car. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like Bluetooth streaming. You can pick up a lot of the kind of the noise when you get the high ends and stuff like that. And I didn't hear that with this Acura. And so I'm wondering if it's more on the, you know, on the software side, if they're doing different things to help with that, or maybe it just didn't have as good of speakers as my car and I couldn't pick it up. I don't know. Either way, I was happy with it. Happy enough where I could use it as a daily vehicle driving around and keeping the phone in my pocket. I can answer calls. I can listen to music and I can interact with it and I could do things. And it's easy, and that's the point.
It's a good one. It'll get simpler. It's simple. And I tell you, I came away from Detroit really impressed with what they're doing, and what we saw in the Cadillac Q in San Diego, and they had it again in Vegas, and really, really good stuff. And, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, it's going to be in just the everyday cars. I'm excited. I'm not going to need a new car forever. I have an 05 Civic. Thing's going to last. But I want a new car. That's a whole other problem. All right, are we done with CES?
Hey, one more thing.
Yes.
If you're okay with Fords, mm-hmm. and or even if you're not, go check out, if for nothing else, go look at the 2013 Ford Fusion. The front end of this thing, it made me do a double take. It looks like an Aston Martin or a Jag. It's crazy. And granted, they do have that kind of family heritage there because Ford does own them, but it's crazy. And this thing looks really, really nice. And so if you're looking for a sub $30,000 car.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And the Ford Sync with the App Sync, mm-hmm. The recent NPR announcement, of course, the integration with Slacker. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a good looking car, and it's a pretty neat little thing they got.
Wow, that might be. I know, right? This year, yep. What am I talking about?
Anyway.
Damn, that's nice. That's real nice. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get away from
that's
cars.
It. That's all I
can. Yeah, I'm getting excited. I'm not even a car guy. I'm getting excited.
Feels ruined for the rest of the evening. Oh, yeah.
I need a minute. Okay. We done with CES. I know we've talked about, well, maybe we haven't talked about MWC, but if you're worried about not seeing something at CES, don't be. This happens every show, right? Sprint didn't have much or anything or, you know, whatever. AT&T came out with like a dozen phones at once. It was insane. There's more coming up. So we have Mobile World Congress at the end of February. Alex will be coming with us. I'll be there. Simon Sage, and if you haven't heard, we have acquired Simon Sage on waivers or for a couple first round picks. I forget which. If you don't know Simon, say hello. Stop by the site. So Simon will be there with us. Dan from WP Central and Kevin from Crackberry. So we will all be in Barcelona for that. And if you're new to the game, Mobile World Congress, it's in Barcelona, Spain. Barcelona, beautiful Barcelona. And it's a blast, right? I mean, for us, it's so much fun because it's in Spain. But it's much more kind of worldwide centric. So you're going to have big stuff from Samsung. You're going to have big stuff from HTC. 99.9% sure we're going to see more quad-core phones there. You're going to see new stuff from Sony Ericsson. So there's a lot more coming. We're not done. So you'll see the new HTC and Samsung stuff, and then it'll roll out to the States later this year, how it works. Then we have CTIA, and that's been moved to May this year. In New Orleans, another rough trip. That's going to suck going to that, let me tell you. Especially because I can drive to it. Hooray! If you didn't see something you were looking for at CES, don't freak out. That's the point. So there's plenty, plenty more coming. Trust me. Nobody's slowing down anytime soon. I kind of thought they were going to and was kind of hoping, and then AT&T just dropped trow and
Tell you who is slowing down, HTC.
You think?
We got nothing from them at CES, did we? We got the new Titan, and that was about it.
Titan 2.
What did we get last year? And that's what I'm saying. What did we get last year?
We got Thunderbolt, I guess.
You got the Thunderbolt, and you got the Evo 4G Shift. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I mean, not a huge deal. Yeah, you got the Titan 2. Anything else this year? And I think that was it. I got to. Oh, Jerry, what was that one that you reviewed that I hadn't seen before? The AT&T LTE
Vivid.
One. The Vivid. That was really nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's a nice phone.
Yeah. No, we had a nice sit down with HTC actually, and a good meeting with them. But no, Mobile World Congress is their big event, and that's already been set for that first Sunday night. Got the invite yesterday, the day before. So I mean, they will have something. So fear not. It's going to be a long year, and it's going to be a very quick year. I have no doubt. So, away from CES, let's talk about a little news today. Google came out with their fourth quarter 2011 earnings, and I understand it disappointed Wall Street a little bit. Fine, I'm not Wall Street, so I have no doubt that they will bounce back, and next quarter everyone's going to be like, Google is awesome again, because we have short attention spans. We really do.
It's the quarter where the biggest competitor – and really the only other competitor right now in the smartphone space, releases their big, amazing product.
In fourth quarters, probably.
And if you look at all the big Android companies, they had poor fourth quarters as well. Sony, Ericsson, sure. HTC.
Mm-hmm. The fourth quarter was Sony. All about the iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Google. Google's not going anywhere. They didn't, listening to the earnings call, they're not freaking out or anything either. So Wall Street gets its panties in a bunch.
They only made $10.8 billion.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Or whatever. Was the profit 10 or was the profit 8? I forget what it was.
Something like that.
It was like 8.5, yeah.
It involved a lot of billions, leave it at that. The big numbers we care about, a quarter billion devices, Android devices worldwide. That's 250 million. That is a buttload of Android devices. Still activating 700,000 and change a day. I'm sure that's probably closer to 800 at this point because they actually gave us that number a while ago. 11 billion downloads from the Android market. Now, that's up from 10 billion that Andy Rubin announced a little more, almost a month and a half ago. So a lot of that, and I said something on Twitter, and I was like, whoa, they had that Tencent app download thing. Absolutely, they did. But that just shows you how much that promoted it, right? So we've had a billion app downloads from the Android, or not just apps, but everything from the Android market in a month. That's pretty incredible. I think you're going to see that number grow even more. Would it surprise you guys if we saw somehow the Android market integrated into Google Plus? Much like Apple has done with the Mac Store. What do they call it? The Mac Store? The Apple Store?
The Mac App Store.
Yeah, the Mac App Store. Would that surprise you at all to see it integrated somehow?
Nothing surprises me coming from Google anymore.
Yeah.
I've learned that.
The thing is, they already have a web app store for Chrome, don't they? So I'm wondering if maybe that's going to be merged into the Android store at some point.
I could see it, especially with the way you've seen the integration of music and movies so far. I mean, so what else is left? More apps, the Chrome App Store I could see getting folded in there somehow. And that's still a weird proposition. I haven't quite wrapped my head all the way around that. Google buys Amazon. No, never mind. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And I was thinking about it today because they were talking about 90 million Google Plus users, and that's maybe members, but, it's different the way they're counting things, right? So if you have a Gmail account, you're suddenly a Google Plus member or whatever. And I'm still loving Google Plus, so absolutely.
Well, no, that's not quite, because didn't they also announce 350 million Gmail users?
That's true. Okay, fair enough.
I think they probably just counted anybody who ever signed in.
350 million Gmail users?
Yep.
Sure. 250 of which are on Android.
Yeah, true.
By default. No, I mean, probably a little less than that, right? It's probably not 100% activation rate to Google account. Well, no, because that's how they're counting it, right?
Yep. If you hit the market, you've got a Google account.
There you go. That's a lot of devices, man. I was trying to, you know, my family, I think I posted something on Facebook about how if you're wondering why my job isn't slowing down, it's because they're activating 700,000 devices a day. And it's just, it's tough to wrap your mind around. It really, I mean, it's so many devices. It's, you know, almost 1.5 million devices every 2 days. Welcome.
That's
it. Come read Android Central. Buy accessories.
The way I put it into perspective for my wife, every single person inside the Beltway goes out in the next 2 days and buys a Android phone.
Yeah, basically. It's incredible. The other piece of news we got out of the earnings call, the very last question of the Q&A, and the Q&As are really the only thing you need to listen to in the earnings call. Usually Larry will give a little brief statement about Android, and that's what he did for these numbers. But the very last question, and I'm sorry I couldn't understand who it was from because I really want to give him credit, asked about Google Wallet. And let me just read what Susan – I'm totally going to screw her name up.
Susan, we love you.
Yes. WOJCICKI. We want to focus on products that people use every day, products that are core. And all of us use our wallet every day, and we think it's a big opportunity for us. We are continuing to invest in our wallet business, and we see a lot of opportunity. For example, there might be opportunities in the future – how online and offline are linked together, and better opportunities with the way different parts of our business wind up working. So we are very excited about Wallet, and we will continue to invest in it. So basically that whole first paragraph was, holy crap, what am I going to say? So they're still investing in Google Wallet. I don't know. Man, I want it to work. I really do. But whatever this...
I have a prediction.
Yeah?
When the Olympics start,
they are going to put
Google Wallet on the market for all phones with NFC and allow T-Mobile and Verizon to block it from their carrier devices.
But explain why you think the Olympics are involved.
Because we've already heard the words Olympics and NFC mentioned by Google several times.
Ah.
Isn't there a big push? You know, that's just a prediction.
I heard that on the Cell Phone Junkie too, by the way.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I knew that's where I heard it.
Busted. So they're not turning the lights out on it just yet, but it's got to grow. It has to grow. We've said this before. That's not new, but at least we got an update on it. I think better than nothing. Ice cream sandwich. Let's talk about that for a second. So the Motorola Zoom Wi-Fi edition has got it, and that's really the only other update we've seen since the T-Mobile Nexus S, right?
Right.
I know a lot of people are getting pretty pissed off about that. And
everybody on Sprint, there's one thing that you need to realize if you're a Sprint customer. You have two things that nobody else has. You have Google Wallet, like we were talking about, and you also have some sort of MMS integration with Google Voice.
You've got a CDMA carrier. I mean, it's...
Yes.
We've talked about that before.
There's the way that I'm seeing how this all is going to play out is when they get Ice Cream Sandwich running okay for the Nexus S, then they have to, you know, see what they need to do for MMS integration and or Google Wallet integration. Mm-hmm. And then they'll put out like a 4.0.5 for the Nexus S.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to wait a little bit longer, but at least you won't have to put up with all the crappy bugs for the first couple of builds.
Yeah, you go ahead and just keep telling them that because that'll satiate them, sure.
I know, but I mean, I know that it's not what anybody wants to hear, but that's kind of how you test software. That's just what you do. You roll it out to a small subset, and then when you already have to work on it for something else, you add in fixes that you've learned from your first rollout, and then the 4G will end up getting something a little bit better than what the 3G Nexus S got last month.
Somebody has to be first, and somebody has to not be first. And I've seen people saying, "Oh, you said the Nexus would get it first," and the Nexus will get it first. The Nexus will absolutely get it first. Now that we have 17 versions of the Nexus and tablets out there. somebody's, you want to talk fragmentation? That's real fragmentation. You know, somebody has to be first and somebody has to not be first. There's an editorial headline for you. Sorry. It sucks. That's why I got a GSM Galaxy Nexus. I tell you, that is absolutely why I got a GSM Galaxy Nexus. Because I didn't want to wait. And I wanted to, you know, not be beholden to a CDMA carrier.
But Phil, aren't you mad that you're on 4.0.2, not 4.0.3?
Oh my god, it keeps me up nights.
Phone just sucked because of, yeah.
Totally. My wife wakes up, she's like, Phil, what are you doing? What's wrong? And I say, Shannon, my phone, it's stuck on 4.0.2. Those other guys out there, they've got 4.0.3. Then she looks at me and shakes her head and goes back to sleep. Dreams.
Start an online petition.
Oh, don't get me started. So that's ICS, I guess. Oh, and yeah, no, that's ICS. Other random stuff, because that's what I called it in the show notes. HTC has said it is actually pulling Carrier IQ off of all of its future ROM updates. So I think before I said it makes more sense for Sprint to flip the switch on the server side. So Sprint has already said, hey, you know what? We're not using Carrier IQ anymore for analytics. And at the time I said, you know what, that makes sense. It's quicker, it's easier, and probably less expensive. Though I think this does tell you that it's a little easier to get out of the ROMs than we might have thought. And I need to go back and reread how exactly Carrier IQ does it, because there were a couple ways. One is like a kind of like an aftermarket version that just kind of slaps on there. And the other one's really, really baked in. So it sounds like it's not quite as baked in maybe as we thought. Or at least it's easier to take out.
Also the issue where wasn't it HTC that kind of messed up a little bit on the APIs and was putting too much information in the logs?
Right, right.
So, good, HTC. You should have done it last month, but at least you're doing it. Get it off there, and right. If you want to use it again, fix it.
And my other thing at this point is if Sprint's no longer using it, you've got dormant code to strip it out, right? There's no reason to have lines of code in there that you're not using.
Right.
Just, you know, keep it clean. So, Jerry, you want to talk about LightSquared?
Oh, God, isn't that a fun mess?
Well, you're the one who wanted to talk about it, not me.
So. Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's just an interesting mess to me. Government conspiracy
Hang on, let's back up. So what is LightSquared?
Oh, LightSquared is that company that wants to work with Sprint and Best Buy and a couple other smaller partners and roll out a nationwide LTE network. And first off, guys, Sprint doesn't have to have LightSquared. If LightSquared goes away tomorrow, Sprint's still going to roll out LTE. We're almost certain of that.
Right.
It just would save them a lot of money if they could use LightSquared. But apparently the spectrum that they bought interferes with GPS. How much it interferes with GPS is up for debate. They say not enough to hurt anything. The GPS manufacturers say, oh, it interferes way too much. It's probably somewhere in the middle. The government did a whole bunch of testing, and they decided that LightSquared would never be able to fix it, and they don't even want to test anymore. So, and of course, LightSquared did not like that, and they shouldn't. You know, their business is to make money. So they came back, and they accused some sort of crazy government cover-up conspiracy where there's no transparency in the way the tests were done, and they purposefully used old equipment that they knew would be affected greater. And it's a really interesting, neat mess. And we've got a bunch of quotes, and I've got the full press release. We've got it on the blog. Phil will get you a link in the show notes. And you should read it, and you should go back and follow, click through the other links and read all up on it if you're, you know, curious about that thing. And Renee in the chat says, follow the money. And that's exactly it. Somebody's got, you know, enough money that it's going to turn out that maybe not in our best interest, but it's going to get resolved one way or another. And I'm curious to see how it happens.
It's intriguing.
I think there are a couple of things that we need to talk about as well, because there is kind of almost a woe is me thing with LightSquared at this point. And it really I'm going to take the opposite side of this argument here for a minute and just kind of talk about some basic things that are happening with LightSquared. So, number one, they bought this spectrum, which is adjacent to GPS satellite spectrum, about a decade ago. And it is ground to satellite transmission spectrum. This is not ground to ground spectrum. So basically, it's the same license that they have is the same license that you would have for if you were operating a satellite network, which means you're sending signals from the ground up, or basically from a satellite down to the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So there's nothing on the ground that's going to interfere with all this other stuff. This goes also back to an issue that happened. I think it was, I don't remember if it was XM or Sirius a couple of years back got in trouble, because if you're a satellite radio subscriber, of course you probably have noticed that occasionally in a city you'll go into a parking garage or underneath a tree or something, and all of a sudden you'll still have satellite service. It'll work in an area where you don't have a clear view of the sky. Well, they've got these ground-based repeaters, which came up as like a way for them to fill in gaps in major cities. Well, they were totally broadcasting way too powerful. Anyway, this type of issue comes in because you can have interference, and that's why they don't like to have very high-powered stuff broadcasting on the ground for that. So they bought this spectrum like a decade ago. And the FCC would let them put supplemental towers in that's not covered by satellites. But that's not what they're talking about doing. They're talking about putting in a whole network of terrestrial towers, thousands of towers across the country. And this is in complete direct opposition to the FCC's actual thoughts when they initially sold the spectrum to them. And this is so they do not have a correct license. GPS and light squared frequencies would not conflict at all if they were used for satellite to ground based communications, but ground to ground is really where they're getting into these problems. So the bottom line with this is LightSquared is pretty screwed, honestly. And I do not think that LightSquared is being responsible in what they're trying to do. I think they are absolutely trying to get away with something here, and I'm really kind of down on LightSquared at this point, and I do not think that we're going to see them at all really kind of come out of this in a positive way.
All right, Mickey, I have a question for you. Let's say, well, of course, if LightSquared goes under, they're not going to be able to give Sprint back their money. So let's say Sprint picks up some of this spectrum. Is there a use for it? Can it be used for anything, you know, in the cellular industry, or is it pretty much just, yeah, this is why we sold it to you, sucker?
Well, I think there's a use for it, but the use is for if there were ways that they could use it for satellite to ground based communications, which doesn't work in cellular. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to do, you know, very small segmented cells, i.e. cellular, mm-hmm. a cellular network. And so I don't see it unless we're talking about very low power stuff. Maybe it's in building potentially could work, you know, if they're doing like just a couple of watt, in building systems. But then again, why is Sprint going to take the time to build, have manufacturers build devices for them? And why are they going to implement spectrum into their network that doesn't necessarily isn't going to be useful all around? I have no doubt that they're going to be able to refarm a lot of the 1900 megahertz spectrum that they already own, just based on how much more efficient LTE is going to be for them. Mm-hmm. But one other thing that we're not talking about, or we haven't yet, is the Nextel side of things. So Nextel,
right.
It needs to go away. It's needed to go away for about 4 years. And they need to, once they finally get that back, that is 50-yard line spectrum right there.
Yep.
You know, that is,
but they're
that
already
is,
moving it, right? They're already starting to move that IDIN onto the 3G spectrum?
Yeah, they're newer,
I mean, slowly, and that's going to take time, yeah. I get.
Oh, you're talking about the push to talk.
Yeah, or is that different?
Yes, and the users, yes, they're starting to do that. But Boost Mobile is still selling devices out there that are using IDIN. Mm. And so I'm not sure exactly when that transition is, when they're going to just cut them off and stop selling the phones, but that's what it's going to be. And once that happens, then we're really going to start to see this migration away, because then there's not going to be any new phones, and that's fine. And again, that's 800 megahertz spectrum. That's going to go work out very well for them. It's almost as good as 700. I don't know that anyone would be able to really tell a difference between the two and actual real world and how the performance is. So if they can reuse that as well, that's going to be a few years, though. So that's the problem with that, is that's not going to be right away. They're going to have to use 1900 right away. Clearwire is going to have to get their act together with what's going on. And of course, we're done with WiMAX. We know that they're going to keep this legacy WiMAX network up, but Sprint is done as far as selling these devices. So get that stuff reused. And, you know, there's a lot of networks where they don't have WiMAX, clearly, and they can start implementing LTE on that spectrum that they have in those markets.
And by the way, if you're doing LTE on 800, it means you can roam on LTE in Europe when it's rolled out there.
Yep.
I'm so tired of worrying about what frequency I'm on.
Oh. No, it's not going to get better.
Sprint has a buttload of 800 megahertz spectrum, correct?
Look what Nextel is. It's huge. Now the spectrum is actually it's in a, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head which chunks it's at, but the old 1980s cellular allocations where you had a block of 800 for transmit and a block for receive, and then there was an A side and a B side. And so let's just say it was like 800 to 810 for block A, then 810 to 820 for block B for the receive, and then the transmits were like 70 megahertz higher, still in the 800 megahertz range, but like 70 megahertz higher. There is the Nextel stuff, I think maybe in between that or something like that. But the interesting thing about Nextel is that they have historically ran into problems with emergency responders, and whether it's police, fire, EMT, whatever, where their devices have conflicted and caused interference with some of these devices. So again, though, Nextel phones were a little bit higher powered than the traditional cell phone just because of the push-to-talk stuff. And so I think we're going to be able to get over that hurdle. And I think the digital age of emergency communications and the trunking systems that are out there right now are going to be able to overtake some of these problems that we're having. So, but yeah, they own a ton of spectrum. I mean, you think about all the markets that are out there that Nextel is in. That's what Sprint has. They've got the spectrum. It's silly for them to be sitting on it. It'd be worth it for them financially to pay out anybody to buy a new Sprint phone that's still using a phone that's on iDEN network, and just take the spectrum and just shut the whole iDEN network down and move on. That's how good spectrum is.
Anyway. I have one question about all this. Do you feel better? Because we haven't let you go on a good like spectrum rant in a while, Mickey.
I do feel better. Joey doesn't let me do this. So
No, it's good, Mickey. I never tell you about the emails we get that say we love when Mickey does that, because you never do it and you're dumb, Phil. And they're absolutely right. That's awesome.
I totally stole Jerry's story here. He was the one who wanted to talk about.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, because I didn't know I was going to be pushed on the spot. Phil says, what do you want to talk about tonight? Well, let's talk about Light Squared a little bit.
Have to give me that one. I don't know. Oh, man. All right, we got a couple things left and a couple one voicemail and maybe an email or two. I'll dive through them. If you haven't seen it, and these are like kind of site announcements, I guess. If you haven't seen it yet, we're doing a new daily feature called Android A to Z. It is I'm loving the hell out of these. I don't know about you guys, but it's kind of a not terribly in-depth look at some of the nerdy terms that we talk about all day long. If we get to Spectrum, we'll carve out a whole entire side for Mickey to write in, because I'm trying to keep these short and sweet. So look for those if you haven't. We're doing wallpapers of the day now. The wallpaper gallery is gangbusters. I believe we should have androidcentral.com/wallpaper. Should take you to it. Yes, it does. Very cool. You can upload your own if you haven't seen it yet. There's some really, really good stuff in there. Love it.
Yeah, I put a whole bunch of neat ones tonight that nobody's ever seen from the burst. Check them out.
What else? We are actively seeking developers for a new generation of the Android Central app. We've had an app for a while, and it's been great, and love it. But we have big ideas and big plans, and we're looking for a badass developer to help us do them. So we've kind of opened it up to the community, because I think it's important, right? A lot of really good developers out there, and I don't just want to find like one person and stick with them. I want to hear who's out there. And Rob in the chat room is saying he uses Google Currents, and we'll absolutely keep using Google Currents too, because I like Currents a lot. But we got a lot that we can't do in Currents that I want to be able to do as well. So look for that in the coming months. We are just starting to ramp that up. I was going to talk about this battery life thing, but I don't really want to. If you saw the quote that Samsung is going for all-day battery life in 2012, well, you know what? It's been doing that for a long time. That is the short version of that.
That was a great piece, by the way. Loved it.
Thanks.
Well, I love the title. That was just perfect.
Everybody is always working on battery life. Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it is, right? I mean, you know, how many updates do you see this? Improved battery life. Well, yeah, I mean, they're always tweaking this stuff. Now, that said, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Samsung come out with something at Mobile World Congress and be like, you know what? We're getting 25, 50% more battery life out of whatever we've done to this phone. And that would be great. That would be awesome. But if it's just yet another version of AMOLED screen tech that ups battery life by 5, 10%, whatever, I mean, it's the same stuff we've heard every year. And it's not unimportant. It's very important. And I'm glad they're still taking these baby steps along the road. But we need some sort of really just iterative, disruptive technology in battery life. And I'm far from the first person to say this. But when I see, you know, 15 sites with the same headlines that Samsung's working on battery life in 2012. Well, yes. So is everybody else. So that was kind of the point of that.
I want to see the HTC hand crank. Turn the thing on the back.
Let's do a couple of emails real quick, and then we'll do a voicemail. Actually, just now, breaking email news, not really, from BJ Smith says, can you make a prediction regarding the Galaxy S3 at Mobile World Congress? Is it just going to be a Galaxy S2 with a high-def screen, still dual-core, or do you really think it's going to be quad-core Exynos? Oh, man, I mean, I have no idea.
The thing is that they're already doing a Galaxy S2 with a HD screen. That's right. This whole separate device between now and MWC. So
right.
It's going to be a whole new device. I think it's probably going to be quad-core.
Quad-core could well happen.
Can you... Yeah. The thing is, can you really get much higher res than...
Than 720?
Would you even want to on a 4.5-inch screen? That would just be ridiculous, surely.
Didn't Samsung introduce their quad-core Exynos, or at least talk about it a little bit in Vegas? Or is that something they're going to talk about in Barcelona?
I don't know. I didn't go to the Samsung presser. I missed that one, so I'm not sure. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. If they do it, I think MWC is a good bet. But again, you get back to the point like, all right, well, what do we get out of it? And that's the big question. And I want to see what they've optimized with it and what all we can do.
Right.
No, wouldn't surprise me in the least. Is it going to be a GS2 with a high-def screen? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's going to be a smartphone. Wouldn't surprise me to see a quad-core tablet out of them at MWC. I mean, I tell you, I didn't come away from CES disappointed, but I didn't come away with anything that just, like, blew me away in the mobile side, other than the Intel thing. And like I said before, it's really intangible. So, like, I understand the importance of it, but I'm not completely excited just yet until we get devices and see what they can do. I don't know. When you ask for specific predictions for a conference like this, like, I mean, there's stuff you know you're going to see, right? You know you're going to see the next iteration of something. So, yeah, I mean, that's a safe bet, I think. I got no problem kind of calling that. Anybody else? Yes? No?
No, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, I think it'll be a Galaxy S2 with an HD screen and a quad core.
Yep.
And that'll probably be pretty much it. And really, what more do you want than that?
We could see another iteration of screen tech, because remember, this is where MWC is where they first came out with AMOLED, or Super AMOLED, I guess, 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, I imagine, though, the next iteration isn't going to be something that we get all pumped up about, because it's going to be tighter pixel density so they can get 720p on smaller screen sizes. Mm-hmm. I know that's what they've been working on, which is a huge, you know, that's really huge, but it doesn't look so huge.
Or true. It's going to be something like HD Super AMOLED without Pentile, which you can't really tell anyway. So
yeah. Right. Next email from Steve. He says, I've been meaning to send this for a while, but usually only thought about it while driving or showering. Neither situation is ideal for email. Cool. Thanks, Steve. I want to thank Android Central for developing a professional, family-friendly podcast. About the only time I ever have the opportunity to listen to the podcast is while driving, often with my daughter in the car. The Android Central show is the first one I regularly followed and introduced me to the other Mobile Nation shows and the Cell Phone Junkie. I didn't realize how extraordinary you guys were until recently. Well, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
I like to think.
Yep, and hi, Steve's daughter.
Hi, yeah, dude, name drop your daughter. Come on, because we're totally going to talk about her right now. I'm sure she's beautiful. Oh, wait, no, she's three. Never mind. So I can't pull out all the princess stuff, but I can soon enough. So wait a couple years, play this back. Steve, your daughter is a total princess. She's beautiful. Don't let her give you such a hard time, though. You'll regret that in a couple years. Just trust me on that. So hi, Steve. Hi, Steve's daughter. Wish we knew your name. Sorry. My daughter listens to these podcasts, and she's like, Daddy, what are you listening to again? I want to listen to the Muppets. Do I have any more emails? No, I think that's it for now. So, shall we do the one voicemail we have from an old friend?
Yes.
No.
Maybe. Hey, Renee, play the voicemail.
Hi, this is Gary from Texas, calling for the Android Central podcast. I just purchased the Galaxy Nexus Unlocked from Daily Steals. Good price, great deal on a great phone. Here's my question, if you guys can explain it for us. There are huge forums on both XDA and Android Central. From the debate of the YakJew build and the YakJew WX builds that come on the Galaxy Nexus Unlocked, if you guys can explain and help calm the confusion on which of these will get updates in a timely fashion, if they will all get updates, or if this is something that that the carriers with the WX bills will have to push out themselves. So if you guys, there's huge debates on that, and I've actually had to upgrade mine to YakJew since it came with the WX, but I'm happy with the Galaxy Nexus. It's a great phone, and anyone out there who's listening and wants one will be happy with it. Thanks a lot, guys. I love the podcast. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, Jerry, you're going to have to explain this one again because I'm probably going to screw it up here. So the Galaxy Nexus, you have two versions of it. You have Toro and, oh, what's the other one starts with an M?
Maguro.
Yes. All right, so one is GSM, the other is CDMA. Don't ask me which is which. I'd have to go look it up.
Toro is Verizon.
Okay. And so within those, you have different regional variants?
Yes. Well, not in the Toro.
Not in the Toro.
Within the Maguro.
Right, because Toro is CDMA, so that's just Verizon.
Right.
That's LTE.
You know, we have to remember there's a carrier-unlocked Galaxy Nexus, and then in Europe there's carrier-locked versions, and in Asia.
Right.
And those will have a slightly different upgrade path. The YakJew, just plain YakJew, gets OTA straight from Google. The YakJew, what is it, the YM or YW, mm-hmm. Those, they still come from Google, but they go through Samsung. They're not going to take that much longer. Samsung doesn't have any software on the phone. They just will need an approval process. You know, it's not like it was with your Vibrant where Samsung had to actually code things and it took them way longer than we would have liked.
What am I looking for here to tell which one is what I have?
Go to the market or search YakJew on Android Central's front page, and it'll give you a link to the app. You can
or just
run
reboot
it.
In recovery, and it'll be in there.
Okay. I'm not sure where it is, but it's very easy to make it believe it's a standard unlocked YakJew, even if it's not. And I'm probably saying that word wrong.
I always thought it was like YakJew.
It could be. I mean, I'm... We don't speak a lot of Japanese here in the mountains, so forgive my horrible translation.
I'm about to actually put the link in the chat room. So it's another reason to be here live, boys and girls.
Right. So and it will just tell you what version you have. And Mickey, if it really bothers you, you can shoot me an email and I will explain to you how to change it.
Well,
yeah, I wouldn't let it bother me.
And if it really bothers you, if you're on the GSM version, you can flash to one of the other GSM versions and it really doesn't affect anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. I wasn't worried about it before this, and I was worried for about a minute. Now I'm not worried about it again. So yeah, we're all right.
Worst case, you wait like 7 days longer for an OTA, and that's it, pretty much.
Exactly. It was funny.
Well, I'm noticing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Nothing. I'm noticing I'm only on 4.0.1 right now.
Oh, really? No, you should be updated because that pushed out last week. Actually, we were at the dinner party with our advertising agency when Seth Weintraub from 9to5 Google and 9to5 Mac, the first person I saw when I walked in, he's like, "Dude, did you get it? I said, "Did I get what, Seth?" I just walked in. Like 4.0.2, it's here. Like, I'm on AT&T in Vegas at CES. I have no signal. So I finally ducked outside and got it. And he's like, you gonna give me credit? I was like, yeah, I'm going to give you credit. You told me all about it. It's break exclusive. What? Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, no updates for me.
So. Oh, well, hey, Alex, didn't you do a post on how to manually update to it?
Yeah, but if you haven't got the one that's updated through Google, the OTA might fail. So you want to check which one you have first. So
apparently I'm not updated by Google then, huh?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. I mean, no one seems to know how OTAs are allocated. It's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it'll come. I won't worry about it. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to notice a difference, put it that way.
I know. Yeah. That's why I don't care. Yeah,
just don't put your phone on your bathroom sink counter, whatever you do.
I was talking to the guys from Roots Wiki at that thing last week, and they said the 4.0.3, and they've seen the leaks on that or whatever. Apparently, I mean, because that's the new base version of ICS, right? Yes. Apparently, like, there's a much, not like grossly different, but battery life is, you know, noticeably better and just things like that. So that's the one I'm looking forward to. Hopefully we'll get that in a couple of weeks, maybe. I don't know a time frame. I just said a couple of weeks. Could be any time.
Build it yourself, man.
We don't have it yet. Have they pushed that? Oh, yeah, they have pushed it.
You have the source. Build it yourself. Yeah. Do it, Phil.
I haven't followed your instructions yet. Yeah, we should mention that. Jerry wrote up instructions on how to build.
And it's all the weird, crazy rumors that you're going to need a computer that can melt Arctic ice from all its power turned out to be false.
Well, I mean, it's just going to take forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to put it to the test, Beezy, one of our developers in the forums, has compiled it on a netbook, and he pushed me into compiling on my Chromebook running a Linux shell. Yeah, it took 2 days, but it works. Regardless of your computer, you can make it work.
Cool. So that's it. We're back, at least for a couple weeks. How many weeks do we have to Mobile World Congress? 4 weeks till we go to MWC, and then I'll probably skip the show right before we go because we'll leave on a Friday. Man, that's going to creep up before you know it, boys and girls. It really is.
4 weeks, that's 800 phones, right?
Yeah, it is.
I measure time in Android phones now.
Man, I was like, oh, it's Monday, you know, CES, AT&T Dev Conference. They're not going to do anything crazy. Oh, my God, they just announced 6 phones. Okay, let's get to work. All right, boys and girls, thank you for joining us. Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158. If you'd like to follow us, you can do so on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHIL. You can follow the site for all of the other writers. The entire site and the store brought to you by the podcast that is brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Woohoo! We're back, baby. So that's it. We'll be back next week live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
3 a.m. London, correct?
2 a.m.
2 a.m. 2 a.m.
2 a.m., yeah.
Yeah, people got me to start including that, so I'll start including Greenwich Mean Time. I'm going to get to London sometime this year. I really am trying.
You should.
Maybe I can try to piggyback they do Nokia World again. I want to come.
I hear they have excellent beer there.
That's what I hear, too.
It's amazing.
All right, we're out. See you next week. Thank you, everybody.
They're all good. Yeah.